Level up with Dr. Leyland. Step into the future, the world is waiting now. Dreams are in the making, we'll show you how. From the books to the screen, from the stage to the stars. Level up your game, let's raise the bar. Innovation, inspiration, it's in our DNA. Breaking through the limits, we're paving the way. Level up, reach the sky, take the lead, don't be shy. Your story's worth it, your light will shine. At Level Up will be heard, building a legacy with every word. From podcasts to pages, from business to art, Level Up's the place where it all can start. With heart and with vision, we're chasing every goal. Together we'll ignite the fire in your soul. Level Up, reach the sky, take the lead. Don't be shy, your story's worth it, your light will shine. At Level Up Academy, it's your time. Oh, it's your time. At Level Up Academy, we rise and climb.
Hello, everybody. Hey, welcome, welcome. Oh my gosh, I am so excited. Look at that beautiful smile. I don't think you guys have met Grace and how amazing she is. She lives in Kailua, Hawaii. I almost want to say Kailua Kuna because of stinking coffee, chocolate. It's so good. I didn't realize Grace is there. I'm like, wait a minute. I want some of those coffee. And we're not talking about coffee today. We're talking about Grace. So she's coming in today. We're going to get to know her. You guys already know my Wednesday is elevating my community. And it's so funny that her coaching or her business called Coach with Grace, because literally that is her name. And she is definitely graceful. Before I introduce her to you guys already know, we have a couple of things here at Level Up that we are doing. The first thing that I want to invite you is Rice Coffee. Okay, you guys know I drink coffee, and you guys also know that I probably drink coffee since God knows when. I think when I was 5, all the way from the Philippines. And this coffee actually is really good. It's 48% caffeine. So if you get too much caffeinated, you're jittery, this is the best alternative for you. And it is 100% vegan. It has functional mushrooms, and I'll explain to you what that means in a minute. And not that kind of mushrooms. I see you people rolling your eyeballs in there. Mushrooms? No, not that kind. No psychedelic, okay? So this mushrooms actually has 6. It's called cordyceps. Now, cordyceps is for energy. If you need energy, you're lacking energy, if you're perimenopausing like myself for the last 15 years, you need that energy in the afternoon. Then you got lion's mane. If you have ADHD like myself, you need focus. That will help you Reishi is for stress relief. When you're actually stressed, your body gets into this mode of fight and fight or flight. And so you need that stress relief. Now, also shiitake. I know you guys go to Chinese restaurants or Japanese restaurants. Shiitake mushroom actually is for immune support. I don't know if you guys know that. Turkey tail is for healthy digestion. If you drink a lot of coffee, you feel kind of nauseous at the end if you have more than two cups, actually. Well, turkey tail will help with your digestion. And then last but not least is king trumpet, which is fighting oxidative stress. That means your skin, you know, when you age, when you go out, even if you don't wear makeup at all, you actually lose all of those things, right? So this mushroom coffee, love the creamer. It's coconut. Like, ooh, it smells so good in my coffee too. So that is what you have. And I actually collaborated with them. So you can actually get 15% coupon if you just put Constance Leland 15. All right, so that is one. Another thing that I wanted to go over is our current anthology. This is called Grateful, A Heart Wide Open. This is to invite people to be intentional on what are they grateful for in your life. When you focus a lot on negativity that's happening in your life or adversity, by the way, that's part of life. You can't delete it unless you're not living anymore, okay? Focus on the positive. Share your story in Grateful, A Heart Wide Open, because it's a great feature alongside powerful and purpose-driven voices. Your message, our impact and legacy is our focus. Your message will inspire hearts around the world. You also get instant credibility. I do publish and I also do co-author. I do academic publishing along with regular publishing. I can also do traditional publishing or Amazon-only publishing, depending on your budget, obviously. But join the movement. It's not just a book. Step into the heart-centered community of authors, speakers, and change makers. We actually have this open until the 16th of May. And if you are a good writer, okay? And it's 1,500 words up to 5,000 words. And literally what we're doing is adding pictures on this. Before in our anthology, we only have one with your bio. Right now with Grateful, we're accepting memes, whatever that you want to do on this one. It's actually really amazing. Some of us might do poems in the middle or lyrics in the middle or things like that. So this is actually really cool. So that is a Grateful, Heart Wide Open. And so just tell me if you are interested, we will get through it. Another thing I'm doing is this is my, what is this? Seventh magazine? Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Or sixth magazine, seventh magazine. It's called Level Up Circle. And I'm looking for leaders who lead, help people rise, and continue, right? Because when you lead your people, you don't just stop. Some people stop and be there. I want to feature top-tier innovators, thought leaders, and game changers. And this is actually both physical and also online magazine. So I'll show you the physical in a minute, but it's really amazing. I can't forget influencing you guys. Come on, right? And you're probably thinking, CJ, what is it? Well, if you're curious enough, go ahead and check it out. I have actually made two for you guys. Look at. So this Friday, okay, I'm going to be talking about magnetic messaging, speak to attract, not just inform. How do you attract people? And sometimes attracting people doesn't create actions right away. It takes a while, right? It's like dating. You don't just marry the first date, okay? That would be eloping, but we're not going to talk about marriage today, okay? So literally is getting you to see the value of your own skills already. So that's where we're doing with influencing you. There's a lot of influencers on there from TikTok to Instagram to LinkedIn to YouTube. Come and join us. Okay. So that is the influencing you. And of course, their sister company, Bella Grace. I love these products. These are the four products actually that I have used. I think I'm running out of all of them. Actually, my daughter is crazy about those lip gloss. She took all my lip gloss, like literally. I'm like, what happened to my lip gloss? She's like, I love them, Mom. I'm like, OMG. So I took half of it back and then she took the other half of it back. I'm like, oh my gosh. But she loves them. And my lips looks like I have a lip filler when I don't. So it's kind of amazing. In terms of the elixir, that's my favorite, guys, the elixir. It makes me feel good throughout the day, actually, right? And then, of course, these two products are Korean, and I know that you can use it as a highlighter, but I like to use it as a base so you're glowy throughout the day. And then the collagen spray, I just put it on my sponge and dab it throughout the day if I need moisture. So I love, 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 love that. All right. So now that we are done with that, are you guys ready? I hope you are. Good morning. Happy Wednesday, midweek. Grace is coming, but I need to have a music though. So let's take a look.
Level up, it's time to rise, unlock your potential, reach for the skies, transform pain to purpose, find clarity and stride. With Dr. Leyland leading, we stand side by side. Collaboration fuels us.
Isn't that good?
So good. Oh my goodness. And even your intro music was incredible.
I create them. I create them using AI. I write them by stanza, change it, and then I compose the music. I wanted what whoever sings it, like, yeah, I make my own music. And that's out of desperation, to be honest. I have friends who actually are musicians, and they promise, like, I waited for a year, and I know they get busy, and I'm like, see, this is why I don't do waiting. So I was like, what can I do? I'm like, let me research. And within, I don't know, 5 hours, I was like, let's go.
Wow. You found, yeah, of course you researched and found a solution. Of course you did.
Yeah. I'm like, what's the problem? Let's get a solution out there.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And it's so, it really does level up. It levels you up.
Yeah. Really, I love the beat and everything, but you know, I was actually thinking about this conversation, like, even last night. I was looking at, like, okay, how do I introduce Grace? I feel like you literally lead with heart. I've been looking at all of your stuff, the clarity and the purpose that you have. To meet someone that literally embodies all three, I'm like, oh, I love her, right? Because the world literally we live in right now, Grace, is full of noise, right? For me, you stand as a voice of wisdom because you've been there, you've had done it in the past. And when you share your story to me about how you go about, and which people will know today, how you started, I love it. You have calm, you have intentional growth. You don't just coach though, right? You transform perspectives, elevate leadership, empowers people to communicate with confidence and authenticity. And whether you're navigating career shift, building a stronger team, or simply seeking clarity in your leadership, that's what you do. You offer those things with strategy and transformation. So I and my network would love to get to know you today. I have a first question. Let me get to my question. And really, like, so think back, right? 20 years. I know it's a lot. I'm like, 20 years. But like, find within your timeline, right? There's significant timelines in your life that changes your life and how you got here where you are today.
Wow. So think back 20 years. And if I may, I'll go a little bit further back. I was the young woman that sat around the kitchen table, and I wasn't playing dolls. I was playing boardroom. I was playing business. I was playing like career woman, go to New York and just be a boss. that was how I played. And that was as a young child. So I didn't know I was even going to have children. I really thought I was going to be a career woman. And so now, as you said, you know, what pivoted? Well, having a family. And going from thinking I was going to have no children to having now 8 children and 3 grandchildren. Yeah. And so that pivot and that shift, it created a space where I was like, you can have it, all of that. You don't have to choose. You can have the best of both worlds when you believe it's possible. And And now I get to live that. So the pivot for me 20 years ago was to say, you don't need to be confined into a box of what someone else or society perceives or believes you're meant to be. You can design a life and be a role model for the people in your house and outside of your house.
When you told me you were a grandmother, I'm like, dang, she's a hot grandmother. Like, and I said it out loud. I'm like, oh, wow, CJ, social skills, hello. Like, I want to be Grace when I'm a grandmother. Like, I want to be hot grandmother when, you know, and I want to be Grace. I'm like, I want to be Grace when I grow up, please. Thank you. I love that. So, I mean, I can't say the same thing. I grew up in the Philippines. Literally, our toys were rock. We only had rocks for our toys. We had, like, when you know when you eat those canned soup, we keep the cans and we take our slippers and play 7-7 up. I don't know if you've had those games where we really have like a line of kids. You try to put the thing in there and whoever touches it is it. We were outside. We were at the beach. We got in trouble all the time. We didn't even have electricity. It's called brownouts because we have no electricity for hours or for days. Like, I don't remember doing that, but what I do remember is that at 16, 17, when I started working, I was doing boardroom minutes and I love doing business and I work for the bank. I was the only part-time who had full-time benefits. I asked, see, what I've learned, Grace, is that when you ask, I have not been rejected too many times. I've always asked gracefully, and really look at how you ask. It's the words that you're using, right? So my next question is, what inspired you to pursue a career in coaching leadership development?
Great question. A few things. One is that what I appreciate about coaching is it's known for accelerating success and high performance. And what it is that you're, as a coach, you're not the star on the stage, you're a guide on the side. You're a guide on the side and creating an environment where people can ascend to wherever they prefer to be. We get to be a part of that big picture thinking. I was sharing this one time with the CEO of the Worldwide Association of Business Coaches. There's two major accrediting bodies. One is ICF, the International Coaching Federation, and the second is the WABC, which is the Worldwide Association of Business Coaches, as I mentioned. I'm accredited with WABC, and the reason I chose that is because of their rigor. They hold you to a very high standard of education as well as continuing education. And when I was having a conversation with her, CJ, you'll appreciate this as the researcher you are. I said, if only coaches like us knew the gift, like literally we are tapping in to the creative genius, wisdom, expansive thinking of people every day as a coach, because they're revealing their ideas, their story, their learning lessons, their futuristic innovations. I said, if we as coaches really recognize that, we wouldn't charge for our coaching. Now, I'm not saying that I don't charge. I'm just saying that we probably wouldn't, because of the access that we're uploading genius on a daily basis, creative thinking. And so she laughed and she said, yes, the reality is that most people won't, that it is a skill that I am passionate about. I love seeing people living their best lives and victorious and successful as they define it. I love to get to mentor people and to share. Years ago, though, I didn't, CJ. I could not stand the stage. I remember when I went to speak at one of my first events for our company as we started a business, a global business, actually, and in its infancy, everyone else was on stage and I loved working behind the scenes. I was more of that person. That was a sweet spot for me. And I went out on stage, and this was the extent of my speech, CJ. It was, hello, welcome, and we are honored that you are here. And that was it. And I walked back off the stage. I was like, that's all, folks. That was all I wanted to, you know, that was the extent of what I wanted to do on a stage. And then someone came up to me, a couple people, and said, and they knew that I appreciate the opportunity to be generous, to share, to contribute, to add value in various forms. And they said, Grace, you're very selfish. And I looked at them. Oh yeah, CJ, that was my look. And I said, well, what does that mean? And they said, yeah. They said, people share things with you. You are an observer. You listen to what people are sharing with you. And you're like a funnel with a cork in it, meaning you listen, you gather, and you keep that knowledge to yourself. And that makes you selfish. And I paused, I pondered, I stepped back, and I realized I'm keeping things from people that and they possibly could benefit from it. And so even being on a podcast or a show like this in my past, it would have never been a consideration. I would have thanked you and referred you to someone else. And I'm sharing that with your audience because there's probably other people that feel the same way. They don't want to be interviewed. They don't want to go live. They're hiding their gifts and talents. They're being a bit selfish when in reality, everyone has a gift to give. Everyone has a knowledge that they could pay forward and pass along. And so in that moment, I made the decision to focus on how others would benefit versus the temporary fears that I was feeling in the moment when I would get up on that stage and stand and deliver.
I was like, I wouldn't have known because you were like vibing on my music. Hey, there's about 620 people watching us right now on YouTube. Can you say hello, Greg? Hello, everybody.
And I see my friends. I see my friends comment over there. Michelle McPherson.
Michelle, I think, is the first one that I've not known. Jenna was here also. So thank you guys so much for being here. I appreciate it. And, you know, I didn't even think about that when you said about, you know, being selfish. Because I don't have a problem of sharing. Sometimes I overshare. So I need to, like, you know. A little bit, because I think what I really, okay, so growing up, I never had a mentor. And when someone attempts to mentor me, I ended up mentoring them regardless of age. And I'm like, so what is wrong with me? Why can't I find a mentor that I can learn from? And I think what it was is because I had expectations on what I wanted to learn rather than just stop and just learn, period, no matter what. And I think when I open up a little bit on not being shellfish on myself, like, okay, you can't possibly know everything. So learn from that person and what you can extrapolate. And now I ended up learning from my English bulldog. And I wrote a book about it. So I went from, I don't know how to mentor. Now it's like, oh, the aunt is my mentor. My English bulldogs are my mentor. And I love that. And no one really thinks about that. Now, how do you define effective leadership in today's evolving workplace? Because I'm sure you've coached so many leaders.
Yes. I think that one of the gaps in an effective leadership is communication, transparency, a willingness to be vulnerable and uncomfortable, a willingness to provide the compassionate feedback in a compassionate manner, to transition from judgment to exploration of the possibilities, of coming in with a possibility mindset versus a problem-oriented mindset, a solution-oriented mindset, possibilities versus problems and woe is me and complaints. You know, with leadership, I also think expand the envelope. I was sharing with my friend, I would rather set audacious, mighty, expansive goals and miss than set mediocre goals and hit. And so I think in with leadership, sometimes they analyze, it's analysis by paralysis, KPIs versus, you know, vividly imagining the possibilities for their brand and company. The other thing I think is a challenge for many leaders is they arrive. They're like, I know everything, I've done everything, I'm doing everything. And they're not creating space for to explore more. I was talking to a nonprofit. My philanthropy is contributing to some causes that I care about. And I was speaking at this event and I asked, you know, how important is innovation to your nonprofit? And they said, it's everything. It is everything. And without it, we will no longer be relevant to do the work that we do. So, you know, those are just a few of the challenges. I also think sometimes leaders, there's some entitlement there and they think that they're deserving versus they're willing to earn it every day. Like we respect in today's era, and I'm sure you will agree with this, is not given. It often in leadership is earned, and how we show up and how we contribute and what makes, you know, who are we focused on? When you focus as a leader, when you focus on the people and ensuring that they are experiencing what they want, that they're getting what they want out of the conversation, when it's focused on you versus me, 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 it's all about me. When we're focusing on the other person, and I love some of the insights that I've learned over the years, you know, great leaders, they, when something goes right, they give others credit. When something goes wrong, they take responsibility. And I think that that's an area of opportunity for all of us as leaders to continue to reflect upon and act on.
There's a lot of golden nuggets in that. I was just listening. I was like, there's a lot, because you're right. I think the most leadership role and the most leadership thing that I've done in terms of people is about 19,000 employees worldwide. And that was very difficult because it doesn't matter what strategy you have for your organization. There's a subculture within the subculture. And I'd say culture will eat strategy any day. Learning people's cultural backgrounds makes a huge difference in terms of communication. Some Asians countries especially if it's a gender female, you know, we tend to like hide our emotions and just smile, even if we want to murder you in the back of our heads, like, okay. But some cultures are very in your face, even if it's a slight wrong. So you kind of see the difference. And I think the biggest clients I had was Nestle. When I did cross-cultural communications, I was actually not working because I was a stay-at-home mom for 10 years, but I travel for organizations, leaving my children, my babies, with my parents. At that time, I was lucky I had my parents. It's all about cross-cultural communications. It's because the way we communicate makes a huge difference. Also, the tone. I teach extensively for the last 14 years, and communications actually is my major, and journalism. In my bachelor's with computer software programming. Long story. And so I love technology since then, and I love communications at the same time, but they're the opposite. Like, it was seen as the opposite, but now it's not. It's because you can leverage technology and AI all you want, but if you don't know how to present it and your tone is condescending, people actually will not listen to you still. Right? They're not going to. And Michelle, I wanted to highlight her quote. She says, if I don't share this or my knowledge with others, I didn't miss my chance. I took theirs. Now, if everybody actually think about this way, we'd be in so much better place, right? Like, what? I wanted to ask you, what common communication challenges, since we're actually doing this, do professional face, and how do you help them overcome their obstacles? Can you give me like a sample?
Yes. So, okay. common challenge is dictating and telling versus asking and listening and creating an environment for collaboration. You know, I'm in a rush, so I just want to get this out, get this on the table. It's almost like designing in isolation or in a very small funnel versus creating a space for a team to have ownership, to have a say, to have contribution. And I think that's an area of opportunity. A lot of leaders are meetinged out, where they're sitting in long, drawn out meetings that are very highly inefficient, and there's too many topics, and therefore it feels like a waste of time. And the attention span is so narrow these days. I mean, to hold, and you probably have the statistics on this, Dr. Leland, but to hold someone's attention and really maximize their moments, I think people are meeting doubt. Leaders are leaders in traditional businesses and even entrepreneurial businesses. It's like we've got to be in and out and on to the next thing. So that, I think, is an area of opportunity. I'm also hearing, okay, so let me share the solution. I shared with you a challenge, which was the dictating, telling what we're going to do, how we're going to do it versus asking and listening. And one of my clients I was working with, we were having a conversation around this. And I said, how is your team responding to this approach? And he said, well, they're listening and nodding. The challenge is they're not doing. And I said, well, what if they had a say in co-creating some of these strategies and exploring these ideas? What if they were able to share with you the priorities that they see are timely for today's meeting or for the momentum in the organization or for to address some of the goals and outcomes that you're looking for? You know what? He went back to his organization and started implementing, asking questions like, what do you see are our highest priorities for our time together today? How are we going to maximize this 30-minute meeting? So he was creating healthy boundaries by identifying the timetable for the meeting so that it didn't go, he respected the time. So he said, who's going to hold us accountable? This was another strategy I shared with them. Who's going to hold us accountable to stay with that time? So everybody had a role to play in those meetings. And what he found was, he said, from people, it's almost like they were tired, exhausted, and burnt out in these meetings previously, to they were passionate, they were attentive, they were offering ideas, they were anticipatory for future meetings. It transformed. And you know what, Dr. Leland, they sustained it. So if we are as leaders having a monologue, meaning one-sided, where we're delivering the message, it's telling, versus a dialogue, and it is exchange and interaction, which is what we're doing today, that creates a rich environment for learning, for ideation, for community and collaboration and connection. And he's been able to sustain this within his organization for over a year. So it wasn't a one-hit wonder. It had that profound of an effect. I can't go into all the details, but just wanted to share.
I love that. So I teach a class right now. It's called Organizational Leadership, and that's really one of my masters. And I always want to make sure that I do experiential learning because most of my students are older than me. They're veterans and they're already retired. They're on their second career, you know? And I said, guys, I'm not going to pretend I know everything. I know the theory and I know my experience, but I actually would love to learn from you. This is the assignment. And the assignment is for them to be an HR person to actually do like a TEDx conversation training to us leaders. And you have 5 minutes. Literally, that's my thing. That's my max because I have way too many students. And we wouldn't be done, you know. So I said, you have 5 minutes and pick a leadership model that you want to train me on. And then I teach them the different types of leadership model. And the first thing they would ask is, what's your leadership model? I'm like, ooh, we're curious now. And they're like, yeah, if you were to do the TEDx right now, Dr. Leland, I'm like, you got 5 minutes? Let me. And they're like, how are you ready? I was like, I've been doing this for a while. But I love transformational leadership rather than transactional. It's because it's sustainable. When you see people that change, and again, I don't know why people think that change is going to happen overnight. Like, it doesn't. And also you have to work your inner core, like you have your own trauma you got to work on because we have selective hearing and selective choosing. I know there's two words that are the same, but it's not. So, yeah. And then I wanted to go back to your attention span, because I actually was just teaching this class on social media. And I said, guys, in order for you to get your social media out there, there's a study from 2015 study from Microsoft, Canada. It's actually called Attention Spans Consumer Insights. And this study was cited in like media and social media marketing and human attention. It's 8 seconds, 8 seconds. You had 8 seconds to convince them. So before you open your mouth, don't just open it. Literally have a strategy on how you're going to open this. And they asked about 2,000 participants on this, on the EEG scans, on what they're looking at. So then they asked me, how do you do 8 seconds on that framework? I said, first of all, usually you'll have a hook, just like writing, right? You have to have a hook. There's only, start with a purpose. What are you trying to say? What are you trying to say, right? Think about that. And you're like, oh, I have this. No, no. What are you trying to say? Ask yourself that. What is the goal of the conversation? At the end, you want them to buy. So that means you're buying a solution. What is the problem? Because sometimes the problem is not the problem, it's the symptoms, and you're band-aiding those problems, and they're in 8 seconds, you'll be like, bye, I've already heard of this, right? So use the framework, like, what, so, what, now what, right? Like, now what? I have this, now what? And then let's just take those into 30 seconds even, if you can find the solutions. That's why you see YouTube, 60-second reel, right? You see Instagram, you see TikTok, it's the same thing. And then don't do close-ended, open-ended questions so that they can answer. And that's when you start your engagement. The same thing for social media, the same thing for leadership. Like, what I love what you say, don't tell, ask. The same thing for our books, by the way. We tell people, when you're writing a book, don't tell me, show me. Like when you're saying, oh my gosh, I was so sad. Nice. I have imagination. Don't you have imagination? Like, how sad were you? Were you crying? Were your like mascara was all over your face and you looked like a joker because it was so dramatic and oh, you can't breathe. Like, what was it? Your stomach was turning? Like, show me through words, not telling me. Because your experiences is literally that, your experiences. What works for you doesn't work for other people, right? So communication and communicating that, it's like, whoa, how do you do it? Stay curious and be open-minded. Stay curious and be open-minded. That's it. And then have a positive attitude. No one wants a negative Nelly. Like, who wants to like, oh my God, my life is falling apart every single day. Like, what's new today? Today, I lost an ear. Tomorrow, I lost a foot. Like, seriously, no, right? So my next question is, what strategies do you tell your clients really to foster a culture of accountability and collaboration within teams?
Yes. So I like to ask people, what is your role? What will you be contributing to this goal or to this vision? Because, you know, when people own it, they are more likely to follow through with it. They're more likely to take responsibility. So I like to ask people, what is going to be your contribution to the outcome? What is, when I'm speaking to teams in more of a traditional environment, I also like to ask them, how will you hold yourself accountable and capable of this project? That's the key. Accountability sometimes feels like this. Capable feels like this, a lift up. So accountable, I'm holding them accountable, which is important to see things through to completion. I like for people to again, take responsibility. And I learned this from a family friend of ours. I went to an event and I just simply asked him, you know, I found out I was pregnant with my sixth child and asked myself, how did this happen? That's what that was the story. Okay. Dr. Leland, how did this happen? I know how it happened that it was six children at that point. And again, remember, I was thinking along the lines of zero children initially, and I'm so grateful. We have a full and exciting life. Grateful for every single one of them because it's an adventure every day. Anyways, I'm at this event and this man comes up to me. I was asking him and his wife, you know, what have you been up to? Oh, I just came back from my family reunion. I have 13 brothers and sisters. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's more than double my six. What's that about? And he said, well, yeah. And I have a story for you, Grace, because he knows I love stories. And I said, okay, hit me with it. And he said, yeah, when my mother passed away, I went around to each one of my siblings and I asked them who they thought the favorite child was. And I was like, Tim, that's a big question. I was shocked at his question. And he said, my sister said, well, of course I'm the favorite child because, you know, I helped mom watch the littles and I was very responsible with them. Brother said, well, of course I'm the favorite child because mom would entrust me with the family funds and I would go in and pay the bills. And every single child, this was powerful, Dr. Leland, every single child in every one of his siblings thought that they were the favorite child. And this was the common factor. They all had a role and responsibility, and therefore they all felt valued and valuable. They felt that they were contributing, that their presence made a difference. And that's what that to me, when we give people responsibility, and that's a challenge. Sometimes parents and leaders want to take all the responsibility and not offer it out. And what they do is they burn out or parenting and being a child of a parent from that perspective is no longer fun because they're just wiped out. Versus when you share responsibility, you're giving everyone an opportunity to contribute. And so I love to ask questions to hold people accountable. What is your role and responsibility in this? What if anything is going to stand in the way of you completing this? What if anything is going to stand in the way of you completing this? What will support that you the certainty that this will be completed? When will you be completed? I think oftentimes we as leaders or bosses per se will say, I want it by this date or I want it by this time. And what we've done is we've taken away the opportunity. Let's say I want it by next week, Tuesday, and they could have completed it by end of day today. We didn't give them an opportunity to articulate, I can get that to you today. And I like to even ask people with the scales, how certain are you for that completion? You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1, it's not happening, to a 10, it is done and delivered. Where are you at with regards to that deliverable? So these are just really micro strategies when it comes to accountability. But again, what happens with accountability is it boosts confidence. And that which gets acknowledged gets repeated. So taking accountability to the next step, which is that I see you acknowledgement. I see who you be, the character that was associated with the completion of this project. Like, you went above and beyond. You were steadfast. You remained focused to ensure that you completed this project in a timely fashion. And I see what you've done here. acknowledgement. Sometimes people are working more for acknowledgement than they are for the paycheck. So coupling your accountability with an ICU acknowledgement, and you've got a match made in heaven. Any thoughts on that, Dr. Leland?
I love it. Matthew, welcome. Good mom, making every one of them feel special. I don't know. I'm an only child, but I do have 25 CJs in my head, so I don't know. When I'm arguing with my husband, sometimes different languages comes out, and he's like, I'm like, don't know, don't. And so I'm a facial person. So he's like, oh, okay, you're upset. Okay, what bag do you want to buy today? You know, like, just to shut me up. I used to do bags when I was younger. Now I'm like, food, just feed me, like, good food. I love cooking and I love baking. And my most, like, I did not know French macaroons cost $3 now. I'm going to start baking again. And I love that you said that accountability. And the reason I share that is because my daughters, right? Like, I have two daughters, young daughters. Well, the other one's going to be 21. I can't believe I have a 21-year-old this year. And an 18. So they're both going to be mini young teen adults. But that when you give them accountability to what they need to do, sometimes people put pressure on themselves as it is, and they want to meet that because they don't want to let you down, right? That's the thing with human, like, you don't want to be let down. But I also find that some managers, okay, I used to say boss, but honestly, at the end of the day, I taught a class called Managing Your Boss. And at the end of the day, you're the boss. You can walk out of that door. Maybe you don't have any income, but you can literally certainly walk out of that door. Why are we staying stressful environments and hostile environment for a paycheck? It is hard to find a job nowadays, true, but there are so many ways you can, right? And here's the thing for me with leadership. When it comes to accountability, I always set boundaries. Because even if I give them accountability, but if they don't know what I'm expecting, they're going to figure out on themselves what you're supposed to be doing. And so for me, accountability is big, but I also go the proactive way and said, hey, here are the things that we want, right? Especially when I did manage sales team, I always tell them, okay, guys, we need 60,000 in a month. They're like, oh my God, that's a lot. Okay. But like, let's just pretend there's 4 weeks, not three or five, okay, but 4 weeks in a month. How do you divide that 60? 15, okay. So now we have 15 per week. Now, how do you divide that in 5 days? Three. Now, let's go with the average numbers. And I love your strategy on micro strategy on accountability, because I think we complicate humans, period. Bosses, not bosses, manager, we complicate things. We look at the big picture, but we don't know how to do micro management in your own life. We like to micromanage people though, right? I will quit on you. If you micromanage me, I will definitely quit. I can't. I tell people, like, listen, I didn't even know I had ADHD, but I just can't find, like, if you're going to give me a time limit, give me a little time limit that I can do. That's fine. I'm okay with it, but don't check on me every 5 minutes.
Yeah, no.
I can't stand it. Like, when I'm cooking, stay away from me. Like, you will get burned in a minute, accidentally. Like, seriously, stay away. Like, just don't. Like, let me prepare your meal, you know? And my husband used to, like, watch what I'm doing. I'm like, dude, you can't even boil water. Go, sit down. I will give you food in a minute. No one wants to be looking at that. And I think when you're a teenager, when you're 16, you're just starting your job, you definitely need to be micromanaged, is because you don't know yet. But once you get to know that wheels, and at this point, approaching 50, I think I know what I'm doing. Please don't micromanage me. Like, I can't handle it. And so accountability for me is big on that. Like, make sure you're proactive on what your expectations are. Give them what you need. Give them the support and the tools that you need. But I also want them to be proactive. I think some employees, though, when you give them accountability and they want to make sure that they check in with you every 10 minutes or every 10 hours of what they're doing, I also tell them, like, you need to be able to be independent to actually find these ideas for you. And here are, so I'm big on to-do lists, and I'm like, guys, here's the resources, figure it out. Because if I tell them every single minute of where to go, they're not actually learning. What do you think about that?
Agreed. And that's where coaching comes in. So that's where asking those questions of, rather than someone saying, this is the challenge and I want you to fix it, you'll be fixing it their entire career. You're going to be the fix it queen. Just put on your hat, have it say fix it on it, because that's what you'd be. If you're going to do that, it's creating a habit as well that they come to you. So whenever somebody's presenting a challenge, asking them, what are some possible solutions to address this? If they're coming to you with the challenge, what are some solutions? And so rather than them needing you, they're coming up with and identifying the ideas. They're less likely to pick up the phone or walk into your office for the mediocre solutions. They're more likely to come to you for the big picture situations, because you've created an environment that says to them, I trust that you, and I've even said this to people, I trust that you will find the solution to this, because you are the one that has the key to unlock that door. The answer is within you. And for people, sometimes they've got to borrow certainty from someone else to develop it within themselves. And so reiterating that you are, the reason you're in this role is because you're completely capable of it. You wouldn't have ascended to this position if you were not ready. And the other thing about accountability, real quick, CJ, that I think is super important as an entrepreneur owning my own companies for, you know, many years, almost 30 years now, but the accountability to self, as when you're an entrepreneur, you are in charge of your schedule. You determine what you're doing, when you're doing it, and how you're doing it. And many entrepreneurs are working from home, so they can be distracted by the dishes. They can be distracted by the laundry. They can be distracted by, you know, a drive-by person stopping in, versus, you know, honoring your schedule, honoring your time, making sure that the goal that it's in front of you on a daily basis, that you're assessing the your business, so that you're creating, like you said, a pace for it versus waiting until you need it or have to have it. I think a lot of times what happens is people put themselves into a desperation posture that I've got to have this, I need this deal. And desperation creates hesitation in our clients and in our prospects. So when you have a pace to the business, when we have a pace to the business, what we're doing, and we have a pace to the income, we're not desperate for a person's yes. Their yes is not going to define our success. One person's partnership or one person's purchase is not going to make or break the business. And that is where your personal accountability becomes top tier.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Okay, second to the last question today. What advice would you give to emerging leaders aiming to make a meaningful impact in their organizations, especially if they're just kind of on the mid-tier career, like just starting to that manager level?
So emerging leaders, my advice, could pull it back up. Yes. Aiming to make meaningful impact in their organizations. Ooh, you know what? If I am going to look within, what are some of the reasons that I have said yes to this organization? What makes my role here meaningful? What am I receiving as a result of my investment of life force, of time, of energy? You know, when people are clear with their why, it's like this morning, I was like, yes, I'm going to get up before the roosters crow, because there was meaning and purpose to our interview. It wasn't a have to, it was a get to, a choose to, prefer, an eager anticipation. That energy is important when you're working with an organization. If you lack energy, you will lack magnetism. And if you lack magnetism in this world, you will struggle. The straight up struggle, whether you're in a corporate traditional role or whether you are a leader within your own organization. People are drawn to that passion, that purpose, that mission possible. having something greater than yourself. So I start, all right, reflection internally. Where am I headed? What's my compass? Because I love what my friend Deborah Jackson says. She says, if you don't know where you're going, you're definitely going to get there. You're going to get there.
Deborah would say that. You're like,
You're definitely going to get there. So having that clarity around what reasons why, how, what is going to be the exchange, and then connecting with the person that you're collaborating with, whether that's your boss, whether that's the owner of the company, whether that's the brand that you're aligned with, whether that's a leader within your community, and have dialogue with them, asking them, you know, how did you do what you did? How did you accomplish it in the time that you accomplished it? What do you see that's working? What didn't work for you? What, you know, how did you get to where you are? Take a millionaire to lunch. You know, how did you get to where you are today within this company or within this business? And, you know, what would be important for me to know in order to do that and more in less time? Like that and more in less time, because great mentors, great leaders want more for you, want to see you accelerate beyond where they're at. It's like your success is our success. So if that's where you want to go, how can we work together? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to part with in order to get to where you want to go? Because there will be sacrifice in some form or fashion. It may be sacrificing. Last night I was up late and up early this morning. Why? There was a sacrifice of some sleep because I made a commitment to deliver something. You see where I'm coming from? There will be a cost to success. And it's only up to you to define whether it's worth it or not. For me, success has provided my family choices. It's provided me options and possibilities. It's provided us with an opportunity to sow into lives near in our community and at from a distance. It's created a space where my children, they're passionate about where they are and they're passionate about where they're going because they see that, you know, they're a reflection of us. So yeah, I know that I was going in a lot of directions, but I feel, you know, talk about ADHD. I have not been diagnosed. So I do. I do get excited.
Nonsense that I have. Oh my God. No, it just clicks when you do that, because I also teach accounting. I teach IT accounting. You just name it. That's actually what we call an accounting on opportunity cost, right? I was up till 2 a.m. doing SME projects. And I got up at 6 because I needed breakfast today, and I cooked some fried rice, garlic fried rice, actually, in my coffee. And I'm still drinking my coffee, so I'm good. But that is what we call opportunity cost. And I love that you said that in terms of, you know, creating passion projects and collaborating with other people. Man, I don't want it to end. I'm like, this conversation is so good. It's going to be on Spotify, guys. It's going to be on Apple Podcasts by Friday this week. But this is my last question for the day. If this is your last day today, this has nothing to do with anything, but this is more personal for you. On this earth, what would be your parting message to your current and future families in terms of living life, legacy, and impact?
Wow. I often tell my children, you will always have someone to love and many who love you. That you matter, that you're loved, that you're important, that it's not what you do, it's who you be. It's let your light shine. Leave a space greater than you walked in it. There's life and this world is abound. There's no limit. That who you are is more than enough. I'm proud of you. You're worthy. Speak life over people. Love greatly, give greatly. Your message matters. Yeah. Like I'm a believer of contribution locally and globally. You were made in as a reflection of him. And I can see you, and I love you. You've asked me such a deep question. I want further contemplation of it. I think of these things. I think of them a little reversed. I think about like my parents, or, you know, and I know for your grandmother, CJ, like I think about what she taught you and who you've become in that process. And that you are a reflection of her and a legacy of hers. I think in that realm, like generationally, like all of the gifts that we've received that have been like that have passed down to us from, so because they walked before us, created a space for us to get to walk. Now, what are we going to perpetuate? Thank you for that question. I'm going to continue to contemplate it. Those are the things that just come from the soul and the gut.
Yeah. And
we are blessed people. And we are made with purpose.
Yeah. I think the way I see life is literally like a printer. Think of life as a printer. What you print is your choice. Right? Think of it as a printer. What you put in there, it could be 41 pages, it could be one page. But you printed it enough that it's important. I say live with no regrets. Just don't go crazy, okay? But like live with no regrets. Because you only have one life to live, and everything that we grasp sometimes it's out of our control, because the environment that we grew up in is something we cannot control. But I also say that really pay attention and be intentional in the power of choice. I think often we always say, I don't have any choice. Why? Is there anybody twisting your arm, putting a gun in your head to you doing that? It is a choice. It is a power of choice. I have to be watching my words is also when I always say, like, I didn't have a choice. I had to do it. And then my daughters flip it back to me like, Mom, I heard you in your podcast. It's a power of choice. I'm like, ah, my kids did it. You know, they, especially my youngest, she listens to everything I said. I'm like, I thought you didn't listen to my boring podcast, right? Because it's all business people. But I do see 13-year-olds listening to my podcast in terms of business, because we talk about mindset and leaders. And I love being an ambassador and an advocate for women and girls. And hopefully before I die in this earth, I can create a charm school. I want a nonprofit charm school for girls on behavior, mindset, and just plain like how to behave, how to dress, period. You can be sexy. You can be doing this or whatever that you want, but with class and grace, you know, like you can still do it. Putting it all out there, there's no more left for the imaginations. And we're very imaginative type of people. So that would be me. It's like, power of choice and live with no regret. Just don't go crazy. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I love that, CJ. And I love that we've had this opportunity to sow into lives near and far that are listening to the podcast and will continue to do so. I admire your work and I value who you are in this world, because you're creating an environment for people to share and to receive. It's a mutual yoking. And for those that are listening to this, you know, what you input, you output. So that's you're strengthening and perpetuating gifts. And so being mindful of what we're inputting so that we can speak life into the planet, to the world, and to who we be, how we show up. All of it matters. All of it counts.
Yes. Thank you. And I didn't want to end this, so that's why I asked Deborah to come with us, me, you, and Deborah, in this conversation soon, if we get our things aligned. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. I so appreciate you. And then guys, remember, this will be coming out on Friday. So this Friday, let's celebrate the conversation. But this one, it'll be going out in 6 continents and 140 countries. I cannot wait for this. So thank you for being here. I appreciate you. Bye, everybody. Happy Wednesday. See ya. See ya.
Are you a curious student, eager to learn new skills and make your mark in the world? Or are you a professional seeking to advance your career and unlock your full potential? You need to be equipped with effective soft skills like communication, problem solving, teamwork, and more. The Level Up Academy by Doc Leland bridges the gap between education and employment through transferable skills training. Get the soft skills you need to be more effective at work.